Welcome to season 4 of Blackness in the Workplace, the podcast. Our mission, as always, is to empower Black professionals by providing resources, guidance, and support within a safe space to speak truth to power about the uniqueness of our shared experiences and identities. Here at Blackness in the Workplace, we believe in centering, promoting, building, and supporting Black professionals both inside and outside the workplace. Our voices matter, our lives matter, our experiences matter. I'm your host and your advocate, Jessica. So let's get this conversation started. Shay Neighbors is a first-generation property owner, self-made real estate investor, and entrepreneur. She bought her first property at the age of 22 and quickly discovered the power of ownership and creating passive income through real estate investing. Fast forward to June 2021, and she's been able to triple her rental portfolio in just under 3 years to 7 units. She'll be launching her real estate education and business, the REI platform, this year with the goal to educate Black people on how to elevate their wealth through real estate investing. So I'm really happy to have her here. She's going to share some knowledge with us, drop some gems, educate me and you, Ms. Shay. Thank you for being on.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate being on the podcast. This is a topic I'm very, very, very passionate about. So oh, yeah. I'll have a lot to say. There's a lot of things I'm learned and I'm so happy to just share the knowledge that I have for anybody that's interested in real estate investing, interested in property ownership and wealth elevation, which I'll talk a little bit more about in a little bit. So I'm awesome. Happy to be here.
And your fellow Milwaukee native. Yes. Yeah. I had to liberate myself from Milwaukee, but I'm so happy you're still there doing the good work. God bless you.
Thank you.
I had to get out of Milwaukee. I was like, you know what? This is some BS. I'm out here, you know. For those that are still there, it is a challenge, but, you know, everyone has their reasons, so God bless you. Mm-hmm. So my first question to you is, you know, how and why did you get into real estate investing?
Yes. How and why I got into real estate investing. So that's a really good question. So I started, and I always say my first year in real estate investing, I did not buy any property. Mm-hmm. So this is going back to 2017. What I did during this time was I was interested in owning property. I had an apartment. I moved out of my apartment, moved in with my grandmother, and we split the rent half and half because I said, I want to save my money and I want to buy a house. So that entire year I was with my grandmother, I just saved all my money. I saved the half of the rent that I would have been paying at my old apartment. I put all that money up and I was reading books. I actually attended a homeownership class through a nonprofit just for purely educational interest. And actually what happened in that that class that I took is they introduced the class to down payment assistance and grants. So I did not go in there knowing that. And little did I know, like, that's what half of the people in the class were there for, because you needed this class to qualify for the grant. But yeah. Me just going there just for educational, I was like, oh my gosh, like there's actually free money out here to buy a house.
Yep.
So I completed the program. All you had to do was go to 3 classes and you get your certificate and then you qualify for the program. And I qualified for the program. So my house, that was 2017, okay? 2018 January, I got pre-approved to buy a house, and with that pre-approval came $6,000 in down payment assistance.
Wow!
So for my first house, which was a duplex, I really only paid about $4,000 out of pocket for that house. So that was that money that I was saving for. I had to make that small sacrifice for a year, live with my grandmother. We were on the lease for a year, and I was able to go and buy my first house. So the why part is I just knew I didn't want to keep giving my landlord the money.
Yes.
That just comes down to, like, I was just like, I'd just rather own a house. And for me, no one in my childhood had property. So that's why I had to do the educational piece. I didn't have an aunt I could go to. I didn't have, you know, a grandfather, a grandma, like no one in my childhood owned that. We all rented. So it was just have to learn everything new from scratch. And when I did, I found out about house hacking. which is a kind of low entry strategy for real estate investing, which is I've been able to do multiple times. And that's what I'll talk about more, because especially for people that don't have a whole lot of money, but also want to go into home ownership, that is a perfect way to do it. Because what I did is, little did I know, if you live in the property, yeah, you only got to pay 5% down.
Yeah.
However, if you didn't live in a property, they're going to ask for 20% down on that property. So I'm like, I could live in this property. Like, it was an empty unit. I lived downstairs. I had tenants that lived upstairs, and those tenants paid like my entire mortgage. Wow. So I completely eliminated my living expenses by buying one property that I also had a $6,000 grant from. So I will always say, my first property changed my entire life. Like, it is the best decision I could have ever made for my future, just because it, you know, people spend the majority of their money on rent and housing.
Yes,
and for
yes.
me to completely eliminate that expense, I was able to do so much more with that money that I was able to do it again in 2019.
What was the name of the class that you took?
Sure. The class I took was Housing Resources. Okay, they got an office. It's like off of 76 in Burleigh. They got another one on the south side in Milwaukee. And they got a Facebook page. So for the people that are in Milwaukee that are listening, go check out their Facebook page. They their classes are no longer in person. I took it in person. However, I know that they switched to virtual. You can sign up for that class. And when you finish that class, they will give you a list of grants in the Milwaukee area that you can qualify for. And for me, I was coming out of college. So I was able to meet that low income threshold where I was still able to qualify for a $6,000 grant because I was still below the income. So it does has income requirements, but that is just a great way for people that are buying their first house. You know, you can just do this class, do this program, get your certificate, and you can go into real estate investing that way.
Wow. So, yes, mm-hmm. And most people don't even know that. For me, when I was looking, a friend of mine recommended this thing called NACA, that program. And mm-hmm. NACA, and I'm going to look to see if I can restart that application, because NACA did not require a security deposit. But that right there is the killer for a lot of people. It's just saving up money. And you know, who can save up 20% of a more, like a $300,000, $200,000. That right there is structural inequality. So that NACA program was like, we don't look at credit. We don't look at, you don't have to have a down payment. We just look at your expenses and what you make and whether or not you can afford this mortgage. And you get a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. So your payment is
absolutely
all the same. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great program as well, because I know that one's 0% down. And yeah, I know that they will work with you if your credit isn't where it needs to be, if your budget isn't where it needs to be. It's a program that they'll go through it all with you. So that's a great program, too, for people that want to buy their first house and don't have the funds available to do so. So I just want to let people know, like, it is attainable. You can do it. And there's different strategies and different ways you can get into it, but it is a very good thing to do. And I will talk about it until I'm blue in the face. Like I love it so much, and I'm so glad that I did it.
Paying rent. And when you come from a family that only pays rent, there is no wealth. You know what I mean? Like when we talk about, not to go too deep, but like when we talk about inequality, a lot of people's wealth in this country is based on home ownership. And a lot of Black people don't own homes. So a lot of us are renting. There's no wealth in paying your landlord. And you know what I mean? You have no control over where you live or how you live. All your money is going towards your landlord. And so a lot of people want to own homes. I haven't met anybody who wants to rent. You know, they rent because they have to rent. But home ownership is so hard for so many people. And I think, too, because a lot of people aren't aware of the resources that are available to them. You don't necessarily got to go to the traditional banks. I mean, I wouldn't even recommend that you do that, because they're not there for you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I would say that. So when you brought your first property and you mm-hmm. brought these other properties, were there like any lessons learned, some mistakes that you may have made in the beginning? You say, hey, I could have done it this way, now that you know.
Mm-hmm. So that first house I was talking about, that is like a perfect scenario. I did everything right. What, the first house? My second house. This is the property that I say I did everything wrong. So I went into my second house in 2019. I was like, I want to buy another investment property. I was so excited. Like, and I went with my realtor. We looked at like probably about a dozen houses altogether. And the house that I saw, I just got caught up in the moment. It was just so shiny to me. It was so pretty. It was beautiful. Even though it was a foreclosure, it was kind of ugly, but I saw the potential. Like, to me, I'm like, this house just needs a little bit of paint, a little bit of work. But it wasn't a multifamily. So I feel like me steering away from multifamily, because with the multifamily, like I said, you can rent the other unit out, right?
Yep,
and you use that money to offset the cost of your mortgage. The house I looked at was a single family. It was nice. It had three bedrooms. It had three bathrooms. It was built in 2006. It was a newer house. It was just foreclosed on. And I feel like my biggest mistake was not going in there with the head of an investor. I got caught up with that house because I wanted to live there. Yeah. And that is where I say, just remember what you go in there and to do what you do it for. Because I should have been thinking long term.
Yeah.
But however, I saw that house and I wanted it so bad, I was thinking more short term. And I didn't, now in hindsight, like when you have a house that you live in, you cannot deduct a lot of the business expenses from your taxes that you can with an investment property. So I was also saving, like with my first property, it helped me in the fact that I saved a lot on my taxes because I was able to deduct depreciation. You were able to deduct repairs and expenses that you spent on the property. All that stuff's tax deductible. When you live in the house and there's no other unit that you're renting out, you can't deduct none of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would just say, I shouldn't have stopped there. I knew that I wanted to still invest. I wasn't done. I could see if I was done and I wanted to buy a house to live in. However, I wasn't done. I bought the house, ended up moving out like a year later. I'm like, I'm just going to rent this out. Like, I liked it for like maybe 6 months. But then I was like, this mortgage is too high. Cause then I had a housing expense again. I was like, yeah. So I would just say, don't get caught up. You always got to be thinking long-term, because I know I wanted to be an investor. I knew I wasn't done investing yet. And I should have just stuck with what I knew best, which was multifamily properties.
Yeah,
instead of buying the one single family.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice. Stick with what you know. Like be, or you say you should be good or at one thing or specialize. So if you're saying multifamily is what you started off with, do what you know.
Yep, they do. And I have a plan. Like I went into this long term. Like I have my whole 5-year plan set. I shouldn't have like steered away from that in the moment.
Yeah.
Cause I knew I wanted, I could see if I was done, but I wasn't done investing. So that house didn't have a whole lot of cash flow potential. It didn't have a whole lot of profitable potential, because now I'm looking at selling that house because I'm like, I don't really want to move back there. I'm not done investing yet. But that would be my biggest lesson, is make sure you think long term about what your plan is and what you're going into real estate investing for.
That's good advice. So thank you for sharing that, because that's something that I'm looking at. Is I don't know if I just want to buy a house and just me, because then all the mortgages on me, where I've seen some duplexes and, you know, some side by sides where I could buy that and rent out the other half, and then, you know, it's just me. So that would be and that's the way I would prefer. And maybe later in life, when I'm older, mm-hmm. don't want to be next door to somebody like that, maybe just buy a house and see, you know. So you did it too soon, though.
I did it too
soon. Right. So I understand what your plan was, but yeah, don't ever like lose sight of what you was trying to do, or you get caught up. So I really appreciate that. Now let's talk about, I know we talk about some of the benefits of, you know, you're building your portfolio and it is so diversified. Now, what has real estate investing allowed for you to do, both, you know, personally, financially, that you would not have otherwise been able to do if you hadn't done this?
Real estate investing for me has, it's changed my life in the fact that I was always a person that had 2 and 3 jobs for my entire life. I've always just been a hard worker, a very good work ethic. I finally came to the point, and I would say that last year was probably the point where I was like, oh my God, I don't got to work 2 jobs no more. Because I'm like, the rental income, like that, the rental, real estate business is my second job now. And it's like, I don't have to work these long hours anymore. I can actually like breathe. And it's like the biggest thing. And it also, I'll say the other thing too, is what real estate investing has done for me that's so important is that it's made me work optional. I work full time. So I just want to make that clear. Like I do have a full time job. Mm-hmm. I work in HR. However, I could leave that job tomorrow and be completely fine with my real estate. So it's made me work optional. So it's given me the freedom to know that I'm not tied down to a job. I know if I were to quit my job today, my real estate business will take off. I'll be able to invest so much more time. I'd be fine. I would not have to worry about money. So, and I was able to do that in a relatively short time. Like I told you, I started in 2017. So, and it's 2021 now. I was able to do that about 4 years to get me to that. I feel like that's pretty quick.
And I bet it feels good to go to work knowing you ain't got to really be there like that. I mean, you act like you move different. It's like, I don't have to be here. Like, you got to be here. I got to be here. Like, that feels great. And I want to be like that. And I want other people to experience that, because with renting, you're so much at the mercy of a lot of forces that you can't control. And one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, you know, get your opinion, is let's talk about the eviction ban. There's a lot of questions in this. One big question was, you know, first of all, did it impact you? So were there ever any tenants that came to you and said that, you know, hey, I can't pay, or, you know, whatever? How did you feel about the eviction ban as somebody who owns property as a landlord? Because I've talked to people on the opposite side of that. You know, I'm talking to people who advocate on behalf of tenants, and they have their opinions about it. But I also think it's important to talk to folks on the other end. So I want to get your thoughts on all of that.
Yes. So the eviction ban, I'll answer your question. That did not affect me or any of my tenants. Thank God. I did not have to worry about that. And to be frank, I was not worried about it the entire time that it happened. Because the way that I've set up my real estate business is, like, I screen my tenants. I have a very good screening process. I like to meet everybody personally before they move into any one of my properties. I'm confident in each and every one of my tenants. If they were to have a problem with paying the rent, they will be able to let me know. We have that open communication where I'll be able to work with them. You know, I can help them with the programs and other rent assistance and anything like that. So I've set my business up in a way where I did not have to worry about it, thankfully. And I bought two properties like during the COVID pandemic where there was eviction ban going on. So it did not worry me. I kept growing my business just because I know that I'm setting it up in a way that is really preventative as far as like getting to the point where people where I have to come to eviction. It's a lot of steps in real estate investing to get to eviction. That's like absolute worst case scenario. And if you set your business up right, you really won't have to worry about it. That'll be like a one-off situation. But the good thing about a good practice is just to have good relationships with your tenants, and that you'll be able to work something out. But her ever has to come to somebody being evicted out of a property. So that's what I'll say. I wasn't worried about it. And I think education is a good point, too, because I feel like there's been a lot of false information going out there. Like, the eviction ban does not cover everything. Like, if somebody vandalizes or damages your property, that does not mean you've got to keep those people in there.
Exactly.
Or if somebody lease ends, you do not have to renew their lease either. Like, it's really for non-payment of rent only, for people that are in arrears and they have not paid the rent.
And the rent does still add up. So I think people thought that it was like a clean slate. Like, no, it builds up. You still owe that back rent.
Yeah. And that's a risk on the tenant to do that.
Too. Yeah,
that's,
it is. Taking
a big risk because they're going to eventually have to pay that money. And people have been trying to be slick and trying to cheat the system by refusing to fill out the forms. I've seen some, you know, in cases of some tenants doing that. But to be honest, I've not had to worry about that for my business because I've set it up in a way to really have good tenant relationship management.
So when you say good tenant relationship management, can you get more specific? Because I know in talking with folks who have owned property, you have some landlords that don't do a proper screening, which is their fault. You know, they're so desperate to get money on a unit that they bring people in and they don't do no background check. They don't look at credit. They don't look at whether or not a person has a job, what type of job this person has. So, and then things happen. And then with this eviction ban, a lot of the people who were impacted were people who are already really poor, like very poor, very low income, or had jobs that were very, you know, very quick to go away. It wasn't like these high paid white collar jobs, you know. So for you, when you are looking at a tenant for your property, what factors are you considering that this person absolutely has to have in order for you to make them a tenant in your one of your properties?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that, because I just went through this process with my tenant. I just got a tenant in one of my properties in August. So I had somebody move in August 1st. So it's very fresh in my mind. So when you look at tenant qualifications, you do look at their credit. You do look at their background check. You do look at their income to make sure that you don't want to set people up for failure. You got to make sure they're able to actually afford the unit.
Yeah.
I think presentation is a good thing too. And just looking at it that way, I'm not saying that people have to check every single one of them boxes. I always say I look at an application as a whole. Like, somebody's credit may not be there. However, it may make up in some other areas. Maybe they have another good positive landlord reference where I'm able to call them. They're like, hey, so-and-so pays their rent on time. I've had no problems with them. I'm like, okay, cool. That's all I'm looking for. You know what? Just for you to take care of my property. So
you said presentation. Are you talking about the way they present themselves when you meet them in person?
Absolutely. Like I said before, like, I like to meet all of my tenants. I've actually come to the point in my business where I'm actually delegating a lot of stuff out. So I'm not in every single like screening or open house anymore. However, if it does, if the property manager comes to me with a decision, like, hey, we think this person is a good candidate, I will go and I will personally meet that tenant just to, you know, ask them a few questions, see why they're interested in the property and just get to know them. So and my tenants, they know who I am. I'm the type of landlord where I give out gifts during Christmas times. I'm the type of landlord where I do go and check on the property. They may not know I'm there. Like, you know, other week I'm driving past one of my properties. You know, I see an Amazon package on the porch. Like, I'll go and I'll bring that in by the, you know, the common area. Like, I'm a type of person, like, I will go and I will just make sure things are okay and just make sure if they need anything, they know that I'm the landlord where I will get back to them and I will fix it. I'm not going to send people off. I'm not going to play games. I take care of my properties. They mean a lot to me. I've invested a lot of money into them at this point. So I want to take care of the tenants and they will then in turn take care of my property.
Yeah.
And that's how it comes full circle.
Yeah. I think that's good advice, because I've had landlords who I've never met. You know, you got property managers who kind of serve as the go-between. So I couldn't even tell you what my landlord looked like. And I think it is important to do a thorough background check on people, because, and I like how you said presentation and meeting with people in person. Now, as you get bigger and bigger, I don't know if it's going to be easier or harder or what have you.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like credit, I know we did Rebuilding Black Wall Street Part 1 in the first series, and we talked about why credit is so important. But, you know, you can have shaky credit, but if you have a good, strong rental history where you pay your rent every single month,
yep,
there's never been no issues, you left the property in good condition, you wasn't evicted, that is strong right there. That'll carry you. But you can have good credit and get evicted, and then that right there will block you from a lot of folks wanting to rent from you. So, like you said, there is a holistic package.
Yeah.
And you're saying you've never had a crazy or bad tenant. I wonder, what side of town do you rent on?
Sure, I can talk about, and then that's one thing too, like, part of the reason why I know all my tenants and like they know who I am, like, all of my properties are like 5 minutes away from each other.
Okay.
So like my properties, I invest in what they call C-class neighborhoods, which let me see if I can explain this simply. It's basically in working class neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So my properties right now, I own, my first house I bought was on 45th and Burleigh. My second house I bought was on 47th and Burleigh. And then the other house I bought too recently is on 56th and Center, really, really close to that area as well. And then my fourth house is on 68th and Lisbon.
Yeah,
they're so close to each
other. Yeah, that is very close. This is the north side of Milwaukee for those who are not from Milwaukee. It's bringing memories. I'm like, I know where all those places are. And another thing I want to talk about are just kind of, you know, it's nice to have Black landlords in Black neighborhoods. I think that's really important to mention, because a lot of these a lot of what I've seen in neighborhoods like Milwaukee, especially on the north side, is that you have these bummy landlords who do not at all live in the communities in which they serve. They're all the way out in the suburbs, or they're in Milwaukee on the south side, which is predominantly white. They're not in the community, essentially. So it's nice to have Black landlords renting to Black people or owning property in the Black community. I think that's important to bring up too. So I like to see that.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. And I invest in these neighborhoods for that exact reason. I'm familiar with them. I know them, you know, so I'm able to speak to them better, to potential tenants, you know, that ask about the neighborhood. I'm going to be completely transparent with them because I've lived here.
Yeah.
And I think the representation is important as well. And being able to rent to people of color is something that's very important to me.
Yes.
And giving people, you know, safe and quality housing,
which is
which is not common in so many of these neighborhoods.
No, it's not. Isn't. It's not at all. That's why I mentioned it. Like, you got people who are living in, they, you know, because you pay rent, and oftentimes a lot of these neighborhoods, these people are poor, so they rent wherever they can. And so the housing and these units are not kept up. They're not taken care of. And you have people who say, well, I can't complain to the landlord because I don't want to get evicted. You know, I don't want to lose my house. It's the only place I have. Mm-hmm. And it's sad, but that is the reality for a lot of people in these neighborhoods, is that they live in squalor because their landlord's not going to fix it, because they know they can get away with it because these people aren't going to complain. They have nowhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I appreciate you being in here and doing that good work and investing in the north side of Milwaukee, which is
yes. And I just prefer to, like, even the more houses I look at, like, I'm, this is kind of my comfort zone, so I'm trying to look at to be very close by where the properties I currently own, and because I know the neighborhood so well.
Yeah. Would you recommend people who do that to stay in their, kind of invest in neighborhoods that they are comfortable in, either comfortable going to, even visiting, comfortable that they know the community?
I would say yes. It's good to start with what you're familiar in, because it's going to lessen that learning curve. Because if you invest somewhere that you don't know what the rent is going to be like over there.
Yeah.
You're not going to know about the quality of contractors in that area. It's going to be a lot more that you have to educate yourself on. But for me, the learning curve was relatively small because I already knew the neighborhood. And I know what I can get for rent here. And I know who I'm going to find a tenant and what the tenants are looking for too. That tenant, knowing what the tenants are looking from the tenant perspective, is really important when you get into real estate investing. So for me, yes, I would say if you can, start with what you're familiar with.
Okay. That's good advice. Yeah. You don't want to be investing it out in like Brookfield. You're like, oh, I never been here before. Like Brookfield, the predominant white suburb that,
good luck finding a property over there too. You're gonna pay an arm and a leg.
Yeah, and then you gotta get it back in rent, and then
gotta
make sense. And just you definitely gotta start where you are. So I love the advice that you've given to people. Is there any other advice that you would give to someone who's getting started? I like the fact too that you didn't come from a family that owned things. Oftentimes when people are giving real estate advice, they are already very wealthy to start off with. So they were like, hey, I'm working at Wall Street. I was making $500,000 a year. And I'm like, oh, that's not the reality for a lot of people. It would be nice to talk to somebody who actually come from that same background. So is there any other advice that you would recommend? Maybe somebody can't get started on your property. What would you say should be their first steps?
I would just say go in there with a plan. I think it's good to know what your risk tolerance is.
Yeah.
Because I really don't like how people try to tell people they can get into flipping with no money down. I feel like that's scamming and you're setting people up for failure.
Yeah.
Because people will try to tell you that for just the people that, hey, I want to get started in real estate investing. So it is, I would just say real estate is so solid that even if you get into it, there are multiple exit strategies for some reason if something isn't working out. So don't feel like you can get in there and fail. You just got to, you know, really think about the end goal and how it can change your life, because it can change your life. It really is. It all goes back to that ownership and that wealth accumulation. And you can do that. It's a combination of it too, when you think about it, because you're paying the mortgage down, right? And then you're also collecting rent. So that accumulates very quickly. You kind of got those forces working with you together. And so the number one way to build wealth, and it works, is through home ownership. So that's what I would just tell people. You just start with that. And there are so many different ways you can get involved, whether it's buying and holding, house hacking like I do, you know, whether you want to get into maybe some cosmetic flips or lipstick flips, or if you want to get into rehabbing and renting and refinancing and some of the more advanced strategies, you can definitely build yourself up to that. Whether you want to do real estate full time, whether you want to make extra money on the side, whether you want to create generational wealth for your children, you know, all of those are reasons why you can get started real estate investing. And it's not as intimidating as it seems. I would just say start with educating yourself. And you know, people can reach out to me directly if they want to learn more about any of the things that I just mentioned. We'll make sure we provide my contact information at the end. But like, it's my goal to educate people, anybody that I can talk to, anybody that wants to listen and wants to learn more about real estate investing.
Are there like free resources available to folks? I know oftentimes we talk about real estate investing, one of the biggest barriers that I see starting, just the first barrier, there's a lot of barriers, is just the cost that people charge just to even teach this stuff. Like the most basic stuff, people like pay $40, $50, and not everybody has that kind of money. So I'm curious as to what free resources are available, whether it's the library or YouTube or what have you.
Yeah, there's books I checked out at the Milwaukee Public Library that you can get. Just go to their business and resource section. They have books on real estate investing. You can do that. And what I actually want to provide too is there's a really good book. It's by the name of an author named Lisa Phillips. Her book is free on Amazon. And it is one of my favorite real estate investing books. It's a Black lady. She talks about investing in C&D class neighborhoods. She talks about purchasing properties for very little cost and about different strategies and how to do that and how to build a real estate business. So I can actually give that information to you so that you can provide it to the listeners, because I know her book is for free on Amazon. And that is like one of my top favorite real estate investing books. I've learned so much just from that alone.
Okay.
So there is free there definitely is free resources out there.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. We always want to start with the free stuff first.
Yes.
And then if I got to pay, that's cool. But that's really important, because I know a lot of our listeners, people don't have the money like that. And that's such a huge barrier. And so I'm glad that you were able to like share that with us. So talk a little bit more about your website that you're building and what you hope to achieve with that, because I know you're working on some stuff here too.
Yeah, that is. So what my goal is going to be to teach Black people how to get involved in real estate investing and to educate them about home ownership and how they can elevate their wealth doing so. So the business is called REI Platform, and REI stands for real estate investing. Okay, so what I'm going to teach people about is the strategy that I'm most familiar with and what I've done 4 times at this point, which is the house hacking strategy that I was teaching about before. When you go a property, you live in it, and you only pay 5% down to purchase that property. And what the rule is for that real estate investing strategy is if you were to get traditional financing from a bank, you only got to live in that property for 1 year, and then you can go and you can buy another duplex and move in that one and pay 5% down again. And you can keep repeating that strategy. And I've done that 4 times, and that's how I was able to buy four properties using that same strategy, just knowing what the end goal is. And now, in the business, you know, it's completely replaced like my 9-to-5. I should say replaced, but it's able to like be pretty comparable to that, where it's, you know, like I was saying before, where I don't have to work anymore. I choose to do so. So it's just a way to, and that's the strategy that I speak the most to, because I've done it and I've done it so well. And it is things that I just want to teach everybody to do.
Well,
Awesome. But specifically the people that have the biggest barriers to home ownership, which
are Black people.
Black people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, Black folks. That is, yes. I appreciate that. So one final question here. What is the thing, I know you talk about all the benefits. Are there things that sort of annoy you as a landlord when you're dealing with tenants? Or I know you said that you have a really great relationship with them. But is there anything that sometimes can happen that just kind of irks you a little bit or...
Yes, I would just say repetition is key because you can tell a tenant one thing and they do not, for some reason, they don't always best retain the information. Right. So just make sure your documentation and communication is solid and just make sure that you do regular inspections as well, because that's important, because you can kind of see, you know, if for some reason the tenant isn't changing the furnace filter, or, you know, they're not changing the batteries in the smoke detector. So just little small things, I would say, irk me from the tenants. And it's like, okay, I just have to realize too, like, I own multiple properties. Everybody does not know the ins and outs of a property the way that I do. So they're not gonna do everything the way that I would do it. So you just gotta step back and take that realization in and just make sure that you you reiterate some things to them sometimes. So I would just say, and that's because I am so involved in the real estate business. Like, you know, for people, they could set it up in a way where they're very removed and they don't have to personally manage the property. That could be a big thing for too. So even for the people that don't want to be involved in the ins and the outs, like, you can set up your real estate business in a way where you really collect rent. And there's a lot of people that do it that way as well. But I just choose to be more hands-on. I know my properties because I've lived in every single one of them. So I know the ins and outs and the workings of them and what... And what all is supposed to work and what doesn't. So yes, they do irritate me, and I'm not gonna lie. But it is so minimal to the fact where I just truly enjoy having a real estate business. I enjoy providing the housing to the tenants, and I'm so happy that the tenants love and enjoy living in the properties. And I've gotten that feedback too as a landlord. Hey, we love the property. If you're ever selling a property, let me know. I've gotten that. Like, they love the property so much.
Yeah, buy it from you.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's mm-hmm. that takes time, but it comes back to you in so many different ways. And so, and like I said, I really like that you are still in the same neighborhood in the community doing that, because that's really, really important. And a lot of properties that are owned in places like Milwaukee, Chicago, have are not owned by people who look like us. These people do not live in a community. So when you're not if you're not from the community and you don't live in the community, you don't care. You know what I mean? You're not there. You don't have to deal with it. And when you are from that community, you are a lot more invested, not just financially, but also personally too. So
that's true. And just, you know, being there too, and it's like, the tenants can see that I'm a Black woman, and it's somebody that they can relate to, and their children can see, you know, this representation of Black wealth and Black success, and, you know, and knowing that that could be them someday, you know, and it's representation there, and it's really important because I've been in the properties, like, even in the past year where, you know, I'm looking at a property, I'm maybe, you know, considering buying it, and I'm looking at this person who's the owner that's showing the property in the condition of these living, I'm like, how could you even show this house with the tenants that are in here living like this? And you're this white person over here with these Black tenants. And it was kind of triggering to me because I've seen it. Like, how can you have these people live like this? And you're just like, as you're sitting here, you don't even care. You're trying to sell the house. And you're trying to push it off to the next person because you're not caring about keeping up that property.
Yeah.
So that just hits home to me because I just don't understand that. And that is why I want to encourage and empower us to own our own properties. I was going to curse, but to own our own stuff so that so that we can build up these neighborhoods and we can, you know, pass the wealth down and keep it within the Black community, because they do not care about us and they do not care about our living conditions. And I've seen it firsthand, unfortunately, so many times, especially as I'm going into the real estate world in the past couple of years.
Yeah, awesome. Another thing that I want to recommend is a book called Evicted. I'm sure you read it.
Yes.
The author's name I totally forgot, but it's called Evicted.
Yes.
And it's based on Milwaukee. It's all based in Milwaukee about housing instability, landlords, these slumlords, and the impact of that. So I always think about that when I have these conversations. So I really appreciate you coming on and talking and sharing that information. So how can people connect with you? So when your website, your information goes live, because we need people to access that information and start doing that wealth building.
Yes. So please like my page on Facebook and also follow me on Instagram. And they're both the same handles. It's at the REI platform on Facebook and Instagram. So please follow me on there, because this is also a place where I will be dropping free resources for people that just want to learn more and get into real estate investing. So you can follow me that way.
Yep. And it's free, people. So,
yes,
you know, we always try to give free resources first.
Yes.
And you can't really go wrong with free. And then, you know, you build from there. So, again, I appreciate you for coming on and sharing your knowledge. And I'm excited. I just joined your Facebook page, too.
Thank you.
So we'll have your information on our website and on the podcast, too, that so people can connect with you and follow you.
Yes, and I will send you the link to that free book on Amazon, so people that are interested, they can go
that too,
and get that book as well.
Mm-hmm. All free resources. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that's it. Thank you for listening. Questions or comments? Please visit our website, www.blackmissintheworkplace.com, and let us know. And also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and of course, LinkedIn. Until next episode, stay focused and stay centered. Peace and love.